Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. This is the Tuesday night newcomers class, and we are still in prayer, worship, and fasting. And we will probably be finishing up prayer on this evening, and we might even get into fasting. Hope everybody's had a blessed Monday, at least. Been out. I actually finished the hydroponic unit, and it had too many leaks in it for me. I didn't have it in the house, thank Yah, but they didn't say use any glue with the system. So I actually went back today and start taking it apart to start gluing some of the parts, making sure, you know, I didn't get any on the inside, but so that it holds together and it sealed, because it was just leaking too much water too fast. And then, you know, trial and error, the return water valve, I just actually saw it this evening, you know, a different way to do it. While I was looking, I was like, you know, I really need to redo this because the return water valve is leaking. It was smaller than, you know, all the other holes, so it was like a stoppage. It was it actually caused the water to back up, you know, on the last level. And so I was trying to see if I could slow the water down coming in, because the pump that I have pumps a lot of water. Slow that flow down, or increase the flow at which it goes out. But I think I figured it out, and I'll have to go get two or three pieces to fix that and or redo that bottom portion. And then I should be ready, you know, to start growing some plants that I can actually put in there. So, you know, soak them and then let them start to grow a little bit till they grow some roots, and then take them out of there and put them in the hydroponic system. So I'm going to do that, hopefully. Hopefully I'll get to do that. Well, I'll finish it up tomorrow and start growing some small plants to actually put in there to, you know, just to see what it does. It's the test bed. And then start putting together the microgreens equipment that I bought to, you know, test that out as well. The rest of this week and part of next week, I think, is going to be used, you know, to test growing, provided I have everything in. That being said, this precept, prayer, is important, and we realize that, hey, we gotta be in a good relationship with the Most High, that it is, He likes the prayer of those that are righteous before Him. So we want to make sure that we are doing the right things in regards to Him. So let us do this. I pray each and every one of you are doing well, and we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening. We want to say hello to our new listeners in Japan and in the United Kingdom and in France and Germany. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Of course, we always greet our listeners in the United States, in the African continent, in Ghana, South America, and Colombia. But in particular to our new listeners in Japan, we want to say greetings and welcome to the broadcast. Let us do our statement of faith. And do I have the statement of faith up? Yeah, I do. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we just extol thee. We lift thee up. We magnify your name. We glorify you, Father, and we give you honor. We bless you today, Father. We bless you. Hallelujah. 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 10,000 praises to you, O Yah. 10,000 praises times 10,000. You are our Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself, and there is none other. Hallelujah. We will not bow down or submit ourselves to any other, for you are our Elohim. And Father, we just want to glorify you and lift you up, magnify you on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Let me look up. I want to do a different verse today. Let's do, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and then we will, there's another verse that I want to get as well that just came into my heart. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. This is how we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. Always. Everything whenever we need an answer from the Most High, just have a conversation with Elohim. What does he think? What, you know, ask him, what do you think he thinks you ought to do? And believe that you're going to get an answer. And just a second here. I guess I need to learn how to spell. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We definitely want to be in that vein. Always studying to show ourselves approved. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you tonight, Father, to study your word, to become more like you, Father, that we might be a light unto the world, that we might serve you in spirit and in truth. Father, be here with us tonight. Let it be you that is teaching. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let me open up your mics. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom. Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, Sister Mary, Sister Denise. How are you both doing?
Doing great, brother.
Great.
Yourself.
You know, I have to stop asking y'all that because y'all ain't never doing bad. Y'all always got it going on good. That's a blessing, though. You know, everybody goes through things in life, but amen. It's always good to be blessed and to be doing well in the Most High. And as people join in this evening, I will open their mics. Let us get started in this precept. We just read that we should pray always without ceasing. And in all things, you know, no matter what you do, no matter, you know, if you're looking for an answer from the Most High, we need to always go before him in prayer and ask him what is his desire in the matter, what is his will. There's also something else that we're supposed to do with prayer. And let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 9. When we pray, what should we do in addition to our praying? Mark, chapter 9, verse 29. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark, chapter 9, verse 29. And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There are some situations that you get in. It may be, you know, not in your control, that you may be up under attack by what? Some type of demonic force. Maybe somebody you don't know or that you do know has come against you, and they are praying against you because you never know. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, people can, people we know practice witchcraft. People are full of different spirits. And sometimes in addition to your prayer, you got to do what? Fast. And ask the Most High, you know, to strengthen you spiritually. Because when you deny the flesh, then you strengthen your spirit man. And so in addition to your praying, sometimes you need to also go on a fast with that. Especially if you seem like you're just constantly up under attack. And you need the Most High to move on your behalf. You need your prayer, you know, all doubts to go away. You need your spirit stronger. And the only way you strengthen your spirit, he says, he is strong when you are what?
Weak.
Anybody know what? When you are weak. And you do that by fasting, weakening this flesh. If we have something against someone, what should we do before we pray? Got something against someone. Somebody's offended you. Somebody has done something to you. You don't feel right in your spirit towards someone. What should you do? Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Forgive them. Amen, my sister. Mark chapter 11. Let's get verse 25. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, we've talked about this in the past, and I know this is common amongst churches and, you know, anybody that's in the scriptures any length of time, that we know that we have to forgive other people. Or else our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. And, you know, we need to have his forgiveness. We need to have him, you know, on our side. And so if we have an ought against, he says, against any, then forgive them. And that forgiveness, you know, they may not even recognize that you forgave them. But it's not really for them. For you.
Right.
Mm. So, you know, you can't help how they react. But you can control how you react. And when, you know, when we forgive, then we actually take the power from whatever that is in that situation that might be causing us to feel ill toward somebody, be frustrated with them, mad at them, angry. When we forgive, we take the power away from whatever spirit is causing those ill feelings. And we take back the power ourselves. And so we need to forgive. The Most High says that he forgave us while we were yet, still yet sinners. And he loved us while we were, what, still yet sinners. So he commands that we forgive. And if we don't, then he actually will not forgive us and put our sins back on us. And so we don't want that. You know, everything the Most High has thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, I want him to remain what? Forgotten.
Yep.
And when we don't, when we refuse to forgive, then he goes back and picks those things up. Says he will put them back on you. So let me find something here. If I can find it this way. Okay, I can't find the scripture that way. I'll find it. I was looking for where it says he will throw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, meaning that he don't remember them anymore, unless you don't forgive. But I'll find the verse. Okay, let us go to the book of Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 23. Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 23. When you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time thy adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Now, this is applying to everyday life, as well as, you know, in situations where you are just at odds with your brother or your sister. If you get into a situation where there's a confrontation and somebody wants to take you to court, or, you know, you're in a situation where you can be judged because let's say that it had the potential to get violent. He says, agree with your adversary quickly, while they are still in the way, while they're before you, you know, settle that thing right then. Don't let them get away, and because you don't ever know what people may say or think or do. So he says, agree with them and make sure that, that the situation is really resolved to both of your likeness, and that's not the word I'm looking for. That is solved to both of your good grief, Miles. Satisfaction is the word I'm looking for. To both of your satisfaction. So that, you know, there's no hard feelings. They're not carrying around something against you, and you're not carrying around anything against them. And so if it's your brother or your sister, then you want to do what? You want to reconcile with them before you come to the altar, before you bring your prayers before the Most High. And a lot of times, you know, if your brother or sister won't reconcile with you because, you know, they're being obstinate or hard-headed or, you know, they've done no wrong, even though you might say, hey, you wronged me, that should be justification enough. Or, you know, in any given situation, when heated words are passed, more than likely both parties said something they ought not to have said. You know, even if you feel wrong, you might say something to offend the person or, you know, to even just get back at them because you don't want them to have one up on you or whatever. And so he says to reconcile. And his reconciliation is, you know, to each person has to recognize their part in the situation. And, you know, if you can never see yourself as being wrong, then you'll never see that you had a part. But in any given confrontation, it takes two to tango. And so nobody can really argue by themselves. If there's an argument, you both have to be arguing. If there's somebody's offended, then more than likely both people have been offended one way or another. And so we have to always be ready to accept our part in any given situation for true reconciliation to take place. If one person is taking all the blame, but, you know, it's really a two-sided thing, then most people feel slighted when they know the other person also did something, but they don't want to own up to it. So you say, well, I'll be the bigger person and, you know, I'll say I'm sorry. But typically, it's a two-sided thing. And so each person, for true reconciliation, you know, to take place, not unless it really is one-sided, but for true reconciliation to take place, all parties have to recognize their part in the matter. You know, a husband and wife get into an argument. One side can feel that they're right. Both sides probably feel that they're right. They say some things, and really both of them have to come back and say, okay, I was wrong for this or I was wrong for that. In it, because, you know, especially if things get heated, then things usually get said that both people probably regret saying. But to make sure that it's right with the Most High, then both have to recognize what we brought to the table and what our part in this is. So reconcile with your brother or your sister. And if it's your enemy, your adversary, then he says, while thou are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge. Now, this could be any kind of situation. But you want to make sure that, especially with your enemies, you know, you if somebody is, if you can talk that way with them, then you don't want to leave it where you remain enemies, that you remain adversaries. But you want to, you know, at least part on even terms where, you know, they don't feel like, you have attacked them or you're leaving under under harsh conditions, you know, where the feelings are still hurt. Let us go to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And we're going to be getting verses 26 and 27. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth that what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Elohim. So who helps us in our prayer life? Amen. The Spirit of the Most High. He intercedes for us. Now, this same Spirit is in Messiah. And Messiah says, you know, I'll plead your case for you. But it's really, you know, he's saying, hey, I understand and I've been in your shoes. I've been tempted at all points, yet did he not sin. But he understands what we go through. And so from that position, you know, if Messiah had never come in the flesh, and the Most High would say, you know what, I don't really deal with you from that position. But, and, you know, I don't really advocate for you that way. But from the position of the Messiah and having been in the flesh and having suffered, he's able to intercede for us. So it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we think we ought to pray for X, but we really should be praying for what? Y. And it's the Spirit of the Most High that intercedes and prays on our behalf. And with what? With groanings. Now, you got to be deep in some prayer to be groaning. You know, because, you know, the typical prayer, like we do online or have you, it's rare we get that deep into prayer. But when you're going before the Most High and you are troubled, you're deeply troubled and you need an answer, and you don't know what to pray for, and the Spirit starts taking over for you, and you just groan or you know, moan, because you don't know what else to say. But the Spirit can interpret that groan and know exactly what you need and what needs to be asked for. It says, he searches the heart. He that searches the heart knows what's in the mind of the Spirit. Now, what's in the mind of the Spirit, what does that got to do with you? Because the Spirit should be where? In you.
Yes.
And know what you're going through. Know what's in your heart. And he that searches the hearts knows what's in the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit there is the Spirit of the Most High, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Elohim. So, we want him to intercede, make intercession for us when we don't know what to pray for. Well, I don't even know what I need in this situation. I just know that it's overpowering. And I'm having a hard time dealing with it. And Father, you know what's in my heart. But I don't know how to express it. I don't even know how to dig it out. And if you get deep enough in that prayer, you'll begin to speak to the Father in other languages and other tongues, and you'll begin to groan and do everything else too, because you need for him to respond and take care of it for you. So it's the Spirit that intercedes for us, and we need to make sure that we are praying as such so that we turn it over to him. Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be getting verse 30. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Elohim, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You don't want to grieve the Spirit of the Most High. You don't want to be at odds with the Ruach HaKodesh. And a lot of people are at odds with the Ruach because they are holding on to bitterness and wrath and anger, speaking crazy stuff, speaking evilly of people. This word clamor, let's get the definition for that. Clamor. To an outcry, in notification, tumult, crying. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So we have to know that we were sorely in opposition to who? The Most High. We were in sin. And while we are in sin, we are actually his adversary. And he is opposed to us. He says, but for Christ's sake, when we come to him, for Christ's sake, he forgives us. For his, now Christ, we always look at this as the individual, but Christ is actually a what? The power and the wisdom of Elohim. The man, Yeshua HaMashiach, wore that title of Christ because he was the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. But then it said Christ was in the wilderness when the Most High made the water come out of the rock. So that rock was Christ. That rock that gave them water was the power and the wisdom of Elohim to what? To save them by providing water to them. Hope we can understand this definition. So we want to be tenderhearted, and we want to be forgiving of one another. You know, it's very easy to say something or do something, you don't know who you might offend. You might not even be trying, you're probably not trying to offend anyone. But people take different things, different ways, because people have different definitions for different words. And we don't all use the same definition. Sometimes it depends upon what our mood is. You might be in a position where you are hurting, depressed or angry or whatever, and somebody says something to you, and because you're in that spirit, you get offended. Your feelings get hurt. Whereas if you were, you know, happy and what have you, you'd be like, oh, that, what they said wasn't nothing. You know, you take it and just like water off a duck's back. It rolls off of you and it don't really mean anything. But if you are in your feelings and you are upset, then somebody can say something to you and it'll affect you differently. So we want to make sure that, you know, we are forgiving to our brothers and our sisters, but even to the adversary, but especially our brothers and our sisters. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, And when you have it, acknowledge with an amen.
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 Amen. Quench not the Spirit. Don't be getting in the way of the Spirit. Don't allow the Spirit to move in your life. Listen to that small, still voice. You know when the Most High is talking to you, it doesn't have to be an audible voice. Sometimes it's that unction that he gives you, that he puts into your spirit. You know you ought not say what you're about to say before you even say it. Or you know you ought not do what you're about to do before you even do it. Go where you ought not go. It says, quench not the Spirit. That means allow the Spirit to operate in your life. Listen to him. And when he makes you feel guilty about something that you just did, you need to listen to that and go back and whoever you were dealing with and handle that situation. You know, after that happened, I felt bad. And so I'm just coming back to reconcile with you, my brother or my sister. Because, you know, I didn't really mean what I said. I was caught up in my feelings, and then you said whatever, and I just went off. But I really don't feel that way. And I don't want to feel that way towards you. You know, we have a great friendship and a relationship, and I don't want this to come between us. Listen to the Spirit of the Most High. Listen to how he unctions you in your heart to move or to not move. If believers gather together for prayer, what is promised? What's promised when we gather together to pray? Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Corporate prayer. Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to get verses 19 and 20. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall desire, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now I want us to go back and get verse 18, because a lot of people misuse this verse, these two verses. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And there's another verse that goes with this. Where is that at? I think that may be in a different place. Let's see. Yeah, I should have got these verses. They're coming into my head. Now I don't have them in this lesson. But when we pray, whatsoever we agree upon, it actually is really concerning the kingdom. Because, you know, if you get together, we all get together and pray, the Sister Mary going to get this Cadillac. What does that have to do with the kingdom? Not really anything. And our prayers should be to bring up in line with what the Most High wants, not what we personally are desiring. So I'll find that verse. It might be in a different chapter. But it's we should be praying for those things. We should be coming in to like mind with the Father and asking him to provide us the things that we need for the kingdom, to bring about the kingdom and to live in the kingdom and survive. So I'll find that before we quit this evening. But it's really that's when two or three are gathered in his name. Because when we read these verses by themselves, then we might think no matter what we agree upon, we ask for it, and then the Most High is going to give it to us. No. It has to be kingdom related. You know, we need it for our everyday life. You know, if you need a car and you're not able to get one and you need the transportation and we get together and agree on it, then yes, the Most High will intercede in those areas. But if it's just, you know, for the luxury of having a car, a luxury car or whatever, but we want a specific one, heck, we might pray for that Cadillac the Most High sent a Pinto. And still answered your prayer. You got a car. Wasn't the one you were wanting. So we got to make sure that our prayers are lining up with his will and what he wants. And that it's for the sake of the kingdom. And again, I don't want anybody to just say, well, Brother Miles said that. So I'll find the verse that goes with that so that we know. Let's keep moving for time's sake, though. Now, we talked about this last week. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Because where should we go and pray? I know we know. Should we pray in public?
In our closet.
Amen.
In our secret.
Our closet, our secret place. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray in thy Father, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What can hinder our prayers? What can hinder our prayers?
Unbelief.
Besides a lack of faith. Go to the book of James.
Uh-oh.
Our belief? Well, that comes going to have to do somewhat with our faith. Belief and faith kind of walk hand in hand. Let's go to the book of James chapter 4. And we're going to verses 2 and 3. When you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your what?
Lust.
Okay. So that Cadillac is more so a lustful thing. Most I need a vehicle. And he says, first of all, we usually don't get something because we don't ask for it. But then we do ask, we ask what? Amiss. We don't ask the right way. We just throw it up in the air. But we really should be very specific about how we're asking the Most High, and that we're thanking him, and we're believing. So one of the things that will hinder it is asking amiss. And something that you really don't have a need for. Because you're lust. If you're lusting after it, you probably don't really have a need for it. Okay. So praying amiss and asking for something that you really don't need. go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Same question. 1 Peter chapter 3. What can hinder our prayer? So praying amiss and then asking for something that we don't need, that we might consume it upon our what? Lust. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
You said
7?
Yeah, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7.
Amen.
All right. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as is being heirs together of grace, of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, when we don't agree with our wives and when, you know, we're not on one accord, our prayers can definitely be hindered. And so he says to honor them and dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to them as unto the weaker vessel. Because we're supposed to be one flesh, which means that what's good for me is good for her, and what's good for her is good for me. And so we should be in agreement. If not, then our prayers can be hindered because we're asking not with one mind, not on the same page. For whom should we pray? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's get verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 All right, amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we should be praying for all the saints, number one. Because we're supposed to be, one body, one mind. And when one suffers, we're all supposed to be suffering, even though a lot of times it don't seem that way. But if you're hurting, then I should be hurting for you. I should be able to at least empathize, put myself in your position. And if I'm able to relieve you, help to relieve you of whatever it is that you're going through, especially in prayer. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. What should we pray for? For whom should we pray? For what should we pray? Philippians chapter 4. And let's get verse 6. And when you have it, signify with an amen.
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 All right. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto Elohim. So we should be praying for what? Everything. Be careful for nothing, which means be careful. Be able to ask for everything, but, you know, within... We don't want to pray for something that we're just being lustful for. So everything don't actually mean or be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer, the everything is those things that we ought to be praying for. So he says, make sure you don't pray what amiss. Make sure you don't pray for something that you're just going to consume upon your own lust. So, you know, if you ask for $1 million, what should you be asking for $1 million for? That you might do some work in the kingdom, not so that you can consume it upon your own what? Self. Yeah, I need this new house and this new car, and I want to be able to travel and do all these things, but all that stuff ain't really got anything to do with the kingdom. It has all to do with, you know, satisfying the lust of your own flesh. So we want to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be known to Elohim. For those things that we need to get into the kingdom, to do the mission, the work that he's given us to do. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. For whom or what shall we pray? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So when we, you know, when we're praying for, praying, we should also be praying for all men everywhere that, you know, if they are not in Messiah, if they are not in salvation, that they come into salvation. If they, you know, if they're not a saint, if they are a saint, that, you know, that the Most High is blessing them and taking care of and meeting all their needs. And if it's for, you know, the authority figures, that they rule righteously and that they treat the saints, you know, with the right manner so that you can live a what?
Peaceful life. Hello.
Hello. Is he on mute?
I don't know.
Or did he get kicked out?
He might have got kicked out.
A person of color is different than they would treat a white policeman. If they are white. But even if they're black, and they would treat somebody differently because they're black. The saints, no matter if this is a problem I have with a lot of the churches, is the saints are supposed to be of one body, one mind, no matter what part of the body you're in, no matter what congregation you're in. The fact that you identify as a saint, then people ought to just say amen. But the problem is that, you know, people allow personal prejudice to come in. They don't see all saints as being equal. So what, you're a Christian? You're in a Christian in my church? I mean, it's all this stuff, this craziness, and the Most High, they're going to have to answer to the Most High. When they go before him, they're going to have to answer for those things. So pray for all men and pray for the authorities that are over you in your life, that you might live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He says, lead a quiet and peaceable life. That means it's quiet. That means you ain't got a whole lot of things happening with a whole lot of drama because you're doing things that are making the authorities mad. But, you know, when the authorities are corrupt, then we still got to be and do what the Most High tells us to do. We have to speak against. We have to speak truth to power. So we pray for them that the Most High will start dealing with them. But they might, you know, they might be corrupt with everybody else. And because you are praying for them, they treat you righteously. So we are still instructed to pray for them. So all men in verse 1 and authority in verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's get verse 19. And when you have it, let's say amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So pray for your teachers, your pastors, that we might speak the what? Gospel openly and boldly, and to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for us. Now, I know everybody knows this. Let's go to John chapter 14. And let's get verses 13 and 14. And we're looking at, in whose name should we pray? In whose name should we pray? I know we already know this, but we'll put some book to it. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. You have it if you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Now, this is Messiah talking, so he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, again, this has to be taken in context with other scriptures where he tells us what to pray for and how to pray. Don't pray amiss. And I still need to find these verses that say when we pray, this is concerning the kingdom, because that's another stipulation. So don't pray amiss. Don't pray for, you know, things that you're going to consume upon your own lust. And, you know, other than that, ask for it. If you need it for the kingdom, for ministry, to help in the job that the Most High has given you, and you don't have the means within yourself already, then ask the Father for it. Ask it in Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ's name. Okay. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to be getting verse 17. When you have it, if you say amen. Colossians 3 and 17.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. So we pray for in his name specifically. In all things, whatever we ask in his name. That means that if we're asking for everything in his name, we ought to be asking for things that are sensible. You're not going to be asking for anything that, because when it says everything, then you could, you know, if you just took that verse at face value, you could ask for something sinful. We think Messiah's going to grant something sinful. I don't think so. So everything is not everything. But it's in the context of the scriptures. Don't ask amiss. Don't ask that you might, you know, for something that you're going to consume upon your own, the lust of your own flesh, lust of your own mind. Ask it as concerning what you need to either get into the kingdom, to stay in the kingdom, or to perform in the kingdom. Make it kingdom related, is what I'm saying. What should prayer replace? What should prayer replace? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Then we're going to get verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. For Elohim has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Prayer should replace fear.
Amen.
Whatever you ask for, you need to believe. You know, I'm not, when I say it, again, I don't like to use that word, but, you know, whatever you ask for in reference to getting the kingdom done, to getting into the kingdom or doing kingdom work or keeping you in the kingdom, those things that you need, just ask and believe that you receive, ask in Yeshua's name. And you shouldn't, you know, there should be no doubt. So it should, if there's any fear in you, it should replace it. If he has not given you the spirit of what?
Fear.
So if you're in doubt and you pray, that spirit of fear should go away. You should believe on your Father that he has heard you and that he's going to, what, handle your business. So fear should go away. What time we have? 7:05. Or in your case, it's what, 8:05?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's go into fasting. Amen. Let's go into fasting. Fasting is defined as the voluntary abstinence of some kind. In the Bible, fasting generally means going without all food and water for a period and not merely refraining from certain foods. In recent years, fasting has become somewhat popular, especially in connection with health enthusiasts. It is the thought that periods of fasting help eliminate many toxic substances from the body. No doubt this is probably true, and as such, periodic fasting may have physical health benefits for its devotees. Fasting, according to the scripture, also aids in a spiritual way. It humbles or afflicts the soul. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. The book of Leviticus chapter 16. And let's go to verse 19. Verse 29. Leviticus 16 and verse 29. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Leviticus 16 and 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own countrymen, one of your own country, or a stranger that sojourns among you. Okay, so we're to afflict our souls, and fasting is one way of doing that. To afflict, you know, to starve our body, not let it have control, because the body wants to eat and drink, defecate, and seek pleasure. And so we don't want to, you know, we don't want to let the body rule in everything. We have to have a say over, you know, when we give it sustenance or if we don't give it sustenance, that, you know, that it may have hunger. Because, you know, if you eat and get full all the time, if you have to do without some food, it's a struggle. And this helps to put the individual, so afflicting our soul helps to put the individual in an attitude more receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is generally true that sickness and affliction are quite effective in turning people toward Yah. Perhaps there's a similar connection here between fasting and turning towards Yah. In the most sincere manner, there are many people who will quickly testify to its merits. Yah gave Israel one fast day, and that was in the connection with the Day of Atonement. Although they fasted at various other times and for various reasons, it was never his intention that it become mere ritual. So we don't want to just throw a fast just to what? Throw a fast. The Most High really only commands that you fast one day out of the year, and that's for atonement. But, you know, you can fast when you need to have a prayer, but, you know, for a good cause. But you don't want to be constantly going into a fast. Okay. Let's continue. It was never his intention that it become mere ritual, and we certainly should not make it such. We may use it as an assistance to our prayer life, especially during times of crisis or when grave decisions are required. Fasting apart from prayer and consecration before Yah serves no useful purpose. other than derive some physical health benefit. Excellent health is a worthy objective, but that they worship Yah. That should be the main objective, is your worship of the Most High and fasting to get an answer or solution to something that is a grave situation. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we know the scriptures say that we must worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. As a general practice, some customarily fast weekly from the preceding evening, starting either after dinner or at bedtime until dinner time the following day. Some go beyond the dinner hour. This is only a custom and is not binding on anyone. To derive the greatest benefit from fasting, it's suggested that you choose a day that will permit you to spend much time in prayer and meditation with some devotional Bible reading. So, you know, a 40-day fast, a 20-day fast, a 3-day fast, there is nothing in the scripture that mandates that you do that. Now, Noah, when he went up, you know, when he went up on the mountain, says he didn't eat or drink for what? 40 days. More than one time. But there's nothing in the scripture that will tell you that you got to do a 40-day fast for any reason. So if you decide to do one, just make sure that you're able to complete it, because a fast is like a vow. When you go before the Most High, you say, I'm going to fast for this many days, then you just made a vow to the Most High. That means you got to do what? You got to keep it. And if you break it, if you come off of it for any reason, then you got to start over. So let's say you say you're going to fast for 10 days, and then in day 7, you break the fast. For whatever the reason, you broke the fast. Guess what? Those other 7 days don't count. And he says you got to start over. And you still got to complete the fast. So you got another 10 days to do. Now you say you're going to do 40. And you get into day 20, day 25, and you break the fast, those first 20 or 25 days don't count. And you still got a vow to complete. So you got to start all over again. So fasting is something that you don't take lightly, because it is a vow. Do it when you have the time to do, you know, to be in prayer and be in meditation. You don't really want to do a long fast and you got to go to work. You got to deal with people. You know, if it's 1 or 2 days, fine. You're talking about 30, 20, 10, 15 days. In that length of time, anything could happen. Something happens and makes you upset. And then you break your vow. You got to start over. That vow didn't go away. You have to start it over. So be mindful of that. In the following Bible verses, what was the occasion for fasting? So let's look at some reasons that in the past our forefathers fasted. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. And we're in there already. Let's get verses 29 through 31. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 through 31. This is for atonement. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls, and you do no work at all, whether it be one of your country, own country, or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day the priest shall make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yah. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute forever. So this is one of the days that they actually have traditionally fast to afflict your soul. And you got some religions where they're actually really, you know, they got some type of whip with some type of flogger that they're beating themselves across the back with. I never have subscribed to that, but I've seen, you know, where people have done that to to afflict their soul. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, looking at occasions where our forefathers fasted. Leviticus chapter 23, we're going to get verse 26. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to be reading verses 26 through 32. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, where there shall be a day of an atonement, it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer and an offering made by fire before Yah. And you shall do no work in the same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yah, your Elohim. And for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. For whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among the people. And you shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It shall be unto you a Sabbath rest, and you shall afflict your souls. And in the ninth day of the month, at evening, from the evening unto evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Now let's go get Numbers chapter 29. The book of Numbers chapter 29. And let's get verses 7. Numbers 29 and 7. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
And you shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You shall not have any work therein. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
So when you fast, you are really going before the Most High. And you really need to be in right standing with him even to do a fast. Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 1. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression. And we're going to look at how Israel transgressed in the fast. And the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. Now, he's saying cry aloud and show them their what? Their transgression. And their what? Sins. But they are coming before him like what?
Like
they did righteousness. And forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching Elohim. So our forefathers, they would be in sin, but they would approach the Most High like they had a right to in their sin. And he's telling them that they don't. And so we got to understand too, you don't fast because you're in sin. You don't fast to break sin. You just need to break that sin. Because when you go before the Most High, you need to approach him in righteousness. Wherefore? Now listen to what the people say. Wherefore, or why have we fasted, say they? And you, thou, Yah, seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Now this is what he says to them. They ask a question, and he answers. They say, why have we fasted, and you see not? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice of it? You don't even acknowledge it. And the Most High says, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. You're still doing, you know, you're on a fast. You're not supposed to be out there doing what you normally would do, like I'm going to work. That's why I said you need to have it where you have time to do what? Be in meditation and prayer. So you exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. So if you are, number one, if you are living a wicked life, you need to first repent and straighten that out. And then you need to make sure when you come before the Most High that you are not, you know, going to be in a position where you're still dealing with your everyday stuff. That's why it's hard to do more than a three-day fast unless you take off. If you still got to go to work and still exact doing, you know, laboring, doing servile work, the Most High don't want you fasting. So you really don't want no 40-day fast. Because in that 40-day fast, you still got to go to work. You still got to contend with people. You can't be before him in meditation and prayer. Can't afflict your body the way you ought to. He says, you shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. So don't be fast and trying to be heard by me, wanting me to hear you. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head to a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to Yah? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? What kind of fast do the Most High really want you to take? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? So he's saying, take a fast from doing wickedness. Because people are constantly doing wickedness. Even when they might think they're doing something righteous. If they are fasting and they are going to work, they are still doing their labors, their servile work. The Most High says, no, I gave you a day and I told you don't work. This is a day that you shall afflict your soul. I want you concentrating on me. I want you concentrating on why you're fasting. I want you to be in devotion. I want you to be in prayer. I don't want you out there, you know, doing servile work. And I definitely don't want you coming before me if you are practicing sin, as though you had a right to come before me. This is like what, you know, even praying, we got to understand that we need to be in righteous standing with the Most High. They said, you know, you act like you got, you know, you're praying and acting like you got a right come before me. You don't just approach the Most High in any kind of way, in any kind of status. If you are in sin, there's only one prayer the Most High want to hear from you. I repent. I'm sorry. For real, I'm sorry. I'm turning away from this thing. Forgive me. Impute not my sin against me. That's the only prayer he really want to hear from you. Because you really don't have a right to come before him. And I pray we understand that and get that. In Isaiah 58, you know, he's saying that Israel had a habit of doing this, coming before the Most High as though they had, as though they were a nation that did righteousness. But what he's saying is, one of you got some noise coming through. All right, Sister Denise. Some type of police scanner, Sister Denise?
Huh?
I said, are you on a police scanner or something?
No.
Something is coming through. Something is coming through your phone, like a radio transmission or something.
Maybe it's just a Bluetooth thing.
That might be.
I'm gonna turn it off.
Amen. Yeah, that's weird. If your Bluetooth is picking up other transmissions, that's kind of crazy. So the Most High, he wants us to be in righteous standing with him when we fast, but even when we pray, we want to make sure that we're coming before him, because we have lived the type of life that he has said he wants us to live. So I want us to catch these verses real well. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. What is their transgression? And the house of Jacob their sins. What is the transgression he's talking about? Coming before him as though they had a right to. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their Elohim. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching Elohim. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? And wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? And he says, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. He told them from the very beginning, we read in Leviticus, the only day that the Most High has ever demanded that Israel fast is the Day of Atonement. And he says that it was a holy convocation. He that does any type of servile work in that day shall be cut off. And so even when we fast, you know, any other time, we want to make sure that we have the time to take off and to be before the Most High, and that we're not doing any work, or else we are out of line with the scriptures and we're doing that thing improperly. Okay. 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Any questions on that, about what our status should be, and what frame of mind we should be in, and what we should be doing and not doing when we're fasting?
Nope.
All right, amen.
Nope.
Because I know a lot of people call fast. They will call a fast, but then they're not doing it in accordance with what the Most High wants, what he says. Okay, now if they're fasting and, you know, they're saying they're fasting for health reasons, okay, whatever, you know, you want to do with that, the scriptures don't dictate. But if it's for spiritual reasons, Most High says you can't be working, because he only says that there's, you know, the one fast that he demands that we have, the Day of Atonement. So if you're doing it for any other spiritual reasons, you still need to follow the same rules. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah. I will pray for you unto Yah. And they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before Yah and fasted on that day and said there, 'We have sinned against Yah.' And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah." So the people are coming before the Most High for what? For forgiveness. And they fasted on that day, and so they wouldn't have been doing anything else. Okay, let's continue to read. They had sinned, and then they also went before the Most High to protect them from the Philistines. Verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines, or the masters of the Philistines, went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto Yah, our Elohim, for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." So they were fasting because they were in sin, but they also wanted the Most High to what? Deliver them out of the hands of the Philistines. Now, and they weren't outworking. They didn't call a 3-day fast or a 40-day fast, that kind of stuff. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Verses 11 through 13. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his son from the wall at Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So in this case, they're fasting in grief, and they're fasting, what, 7 days. But that means for 7 days, they weren't doing anything. They weren't going about doing their normal job. They had traveled here, and they were offering burnt offerings. They actually burnt the bodies of Saul and his sons, and they are in grieving. And they fasted 7 days in this case. Go to 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, but if you will not obey the voice of Yah, but rebel against the commandment of Yah, then shall the hand of Yah be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which Yah will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto Yah, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of Yah, in asking you a king. Now, this is when the people have come to Samuel and said, "We want a king. We want a king just like all the other nations." So Samuel called unto Yah, and Yah sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared Yah and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto Yah thy Elohim that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, you have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following Yah, but serve Yah with all your heart. And turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For Yah will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased Yah to make you his people. And, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong book. I was like, good grief, that ain't say nothing about what I thought it was going to say.
I'm like, wait a minute, I thought he said,
where am
I? Yeah, I said 2 Samuel, but I'm in 1 Samuel.
Oh.
My bad.
Okay. I'll
get there eventually. 2 Samuel chapter 12.
Is that good, Samuel? Right.
Chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. Okay, when I'm there, I'll say amen. Amen. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. And Nathan departed unto his house, and Yah struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought Elohim for the child, and David fasted and went in, and lay all night before upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servant, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came in unto the house of Yah and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he had required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst arise and eat bread. He said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether Elohim will be gracious unto me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went in unto her. Different paragraph. So David fasted because the Most High told him, hey, that thing that you did with Bathsheba, I can't let the child live. Something's got to die. And David went on his face before the Most High to beg him for the child's life. He fasted and he did what? He wept for 7 days. And that means he did nothing else. You don't hear about him conducting business, going about everyday life. He got down on his face and he stayed there for 7 days. And when the Most High gave the answer, by allowing the child to die, then David got up, said, okay, I got the answer. The answer is no. So there's no need for me to keep fasting. The Most High has made his will known. Now I might as well go ahead and worship the Most High and praise his holy name because he is Elohim. And see, that's what, most people, they went on a fast, they would have gotten mad. They didn't get the answer they wanted. And then they'll be like, well, I ain't worshiping today. I'm not going to go before the Most High. I'm not going to church or I'm not going to camp. Most High didn't listen to my prayer. But David understood. Most had already said the child had to die. David tried to change his mind and stayed in a fast for 7 days, didn't do anything else. You know, wasn't up conducting business or doing all this kind of stuff. He was in meditation, in prayer, and weeping before the Most High. And finally, when the Most High answered and the child passed, then David got up. Okay, I've got my answer, and the answer is no. Okay, so David fasted for the life of the child, that the Most High might have mercy. Nehemiah chapter 1. And we want to make note that even though David fasted 7 days, was the Most High's answer yes?
Say that again. That would
be, I say, even though David fasted for 7 days and wept for 7 days, was the Most High's answer yes to his prayer?
No.
No.
No. So you're not going to always get what you're what? What you want, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't
understand. Yeah, we don't always get, you know, we could be fasting for the what, wrong thing? David was fasting for the wrong thing. The Most High already told him he was going to take the child. Because the child wasn't going to live. But David tried anyway. And the Most High's answer was still no. And so, you know, we got to understand that. If you get a no answer, that means that you were probably asking for something you ought not have asked for anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Nehemiah. Chapter 1. And we're going to be getting verses 1 through 4. And when you have it, say amen.
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 Amen. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth, angry, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and to the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our Elohim, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own heads, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin. Good grief, I did it again. Nehemiah chapter 1. I must be tired. I was in Nehemiah chapter 4. All right, you guys in Nehemiah chapter 1?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I'm surprised y'all didn't say, what the heck are you reading again? All right, Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm like, good grief. All right, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there is in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Elohim of heaven. So Nehemiah is fasting For what reason? He's fasting because Jerusalem has been, what, attacked? He's fasting because the remnant that are left there are up under great siege. The gates have been burnt. And so he's in mourning for Jerusalem, his people. And so he fasted and prayed before Elohim. Okay, so when we are in siege, when we are under attack, we want to fast and ask the Most High to intercede on our behalf, to pull us through, to pull us out, or to have mercy upon us. You know, that our enemies aren't able to do what they are wanting to do. Or the Most High might have sent them, that he might, repent and withdraw the punishment that he has sent. But, you know, we really shouldn't be going before him like that if we are really in sin. It needs to be somebody who is not in sin going before him, that our prayers might be heard. The Book of Esther, chapter 4. And that's what I did. I looked at Nehemiah, but then looked at where I was going to go next. Esther, chapter 4. And we got 7:46. We'll stop after, we got a couple more places. We'll stop after these couple of places. Esther, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. Right with y'all. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. So Mordecai is fasting because of what's happening to the people. And he can't enter into the king's gate in sackcloth. He can't approach the king that way. He's got to be, you know, properly clothed. And so Esther doesn't know why he's mourning, you know, why he's in sackcloth like that, why he's fasting. And so she tries to send him some clothes. He's like, nah, I'm not doing that. Then she sends, you know, her chamberlain is somebody that took care of her, was to help see to her everyday needs. But this one was assigned by the king, so he probably was a eunuch, because most of the kings didn't play, you know, men being around their women that were able to do anything. So this man was probably a eunuch. He's taking care of her, and he goes about to see what's going on with Mordecai. So Mordecai is fasting because of the threat that has come upon the Jews, because this man, Haman, wants to have them destroyed. Okay. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. The Book of Daniel, chapter 6. verses 16 through 20. Daniel chapter 6, verses 16 through 20. When you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy Elohim, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. In other words, can nobody open this? The king didn't want to throw Daniel in there, but Daniel refused to bow down to that statue, and the men came and told on him. So the king throws him into this pit. Says, you know, your Elohim will keep you. And the king went to his place and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and he slept, and his sleep went from him. So the king is fasting on Daniel's behalf, because he really didn't want to throw Daniel in there. He liked Daniel. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the lion's den, to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living Elohim, is thy Elohim whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, Live forever. My Elohim has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they may not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his Elohim. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So the king fasted for Daniel, and that he would be delivered from, you know, the mouths of the lions. And those men that accused Daniel, after the Most High delivered him, the king went and got them and threw them into the den. But not just them, you know, their wives, their children, and them. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. So the king fasted that night. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, or Simeon, if you want to pronounce it that way, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mananan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and they ministered to Yah and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So they are fasting to the Most High, and they are seeking guidance. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, directs them, saying, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So you fast for to do that you might know what work you're supposed to be doing, and that the Most High will give you guidance and send you on your way to do that. So these are some of the examples of why people have fasted in the scriptures. The Most High only declares one day, but men have fasted for, you know, one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement, that he that we must fast and afflict our souls. But any other time, it has been because we wanted the Most High to intercede, like David wanted him to intercede and, you know, let the child live. And all the various reasons, like they fasted for Saul, his men fasted for him for 7 days. Nehemiah fasted for Israel when it came up under attack and siege. Mordecai fasted when he found out that Haman, what he wanted to do, you know, to the Jews, paid a price, you know, and was saying that, you know, they ought to be killed. And Daniel, the king fasted for Daniel in the lion's den. And then to know the will of the Most High concerning something we ought to do. And again, there's no set time set to fast except for the one day. So if you do a fast, if you declare a fast, remember it is a vow. And if you're going to do it 7 days, or if you're going to do it 3 days or 10 days, whatever it is, once you have established it, remember you got to keep it. And if you break it for any reason, I'll show you this in the vows. If you break it for any reason, because it is a vow, then you have to start over. Okay. On next week, we will pick this up, still in fasting. Got a little way, a little ways to go. We'll get back into Isaiah 58 and into Zechariah concerning the fast that the Most High calls. What he calls us to really fast for, to take a break from, you know, take a break from wickedness. Do the things that he asks us to do. Tells us to take a fast from wickedness. This is the fast that he has called for. That one day is to afflict our souls, but it's also that we're not doing any wickedness on that day. We're afflicting our souls, and we are not out doing anything else. But the real fast that he wants is that we really do take a break and feed the hungry, clothe those people who need to be clothed, that we take a break from wickedness. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Father, we thank you for allowing us to know that it is a day that you have appointed for us to fast, the Day of Atonement. You say, and whosoever does any work in that day, that they should cut off from their people. And Father, so we want to make sure that we at least keep this feast day, this one day of fasting. And Father, we understand that when we fast, we should make time, that we should be able to meditate and be in prayer and supplication towards you, that we do not do any servile work in our fast. And so if we declare a fast, then we need to make sure that we have the time to actually do the fast and not work in it. Father, we also pray and thank you for giving us the examples that we should seek your face in a fast, to seek your will, that we are living a righteous life and have the right to come and approach you, that we are not in willful sin, but that we are walking upright before you, and that we're not offending you and coming and approaching you as though we have a right to come and approach you when we are in sin. For you have said that we don't. And so, Father, we thank you for your word on this evening. And write it into our hearts. Let us remember it. Let the Spirit bring it to our remembrance. Should we ever decide to do a fast, Father, for any particular reason, that we make sure that we are doing it in accordance with your word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Today is Tuesday. Thursday we will have the business meeting. I'm still working on these videos. As I said, I was having to undo the hydroponic system, and it was just leaking like a sieve. Well, not really that bad, but it didn't hold the water overnight, and it should be, you know, only losing water when, as the plants use it. So what they call evaporation through the plants, them using the water, sucking it up and it evaporating through the leaves. And I don't even have any plants in there. And so I came out this morning and the pump was just a-going, but no water was moving. And it wasn't moving because it had run low. So I, you know, started taking it apart so I could seal it up because I couldn't make the joints tight enough without sealing them. We are continuing, so we will cover some more of this on Thursday. Then I think maybe next week we will start taking part of the hour. I don't know if it's going to be on Tuesday or whether it will be on Thursday, but we'll take part of the hour to just talk about, you know, growing plants in that process through the hydroponics and the do's and don'ts of things, you know, as part of our learning. So we'll dedicate maybe an hour to that each Tuesday or Thursday going forward. I don't think I'm not ready to do another night, because I could dedicate a whole night to it, but I'm not ready to do that yet. And as we finish, you know, when we finish the bylaws, then we could repurpose that night in that time frame. And then maybe I'll probably maybe use part of Sunday, that meeting, for the same thing. Maybe I'll split it like that. But anyway, I want to get it to where, you know, we are understanding what we're doing. We're doing our reading. We can compare notes, those types of things. Any questions on anything covered tonight?
No.
All right. Amen. All right, my sisters, may the Most High bless you. May He encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, I love you. You know I do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. Rest well.
Thank you.
Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, live my the water baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? Without you, there's no need. I need a hand.